Don't Be Afraid is our title today. What are the things that make us fear? Should we, as Christians, fear? We'll be thinking a bit more about that in a moment. Let me pray, and then I'm going to read these words from Matthew's Gospel, and then Matt will come and talk us through them. Let's pray. Our Father God, we do thank you for this time now. We pray that even in the midst of a busy day, even with minds that are racing with things not yet done, things still to do this afternoon, would you just help us to be still now, that as we look at your word, we would hear your voice as your spirit speaks. Amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 10 then. A student is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the student to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven.
Well, good afternoon. I don't know if you've ever heard of Peter Cartwright. Peter Cartwright was a 19th century evangelist in the United States. Easy not to have heard of him. But he was quite a character. On one occasion he was addressing a church gathering, and just before the meeting, the actual minister of the church came up to him and said, Mr. Cartwright, the president's here this morning. The president of the United States is here this morning. Andrew Jackson is here, so just don't be too alarming with him, Mr. Cartwright. We know you're plain speaking, but just this morning with the president here, just be careful what you say before the president in our church, won't you? I've heard you. I've heard what you said. Okay. So the service began, and at some point in the service, Peter Cartwright stands up to preach, and his opening sentence was, I was going to try an American accent. Let's not do that. That'll embarrass me and possibly you as well. I've been told this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I need to restrain the truth. So let me be plain with you. Unless he repents, Andrew Jackson will be going to hell. And then he began his message. I think it had nothing to do with actually the text he was preaching on, but and off he went. After the meeting, apparently, so it's told, the president, Andrew Jackson, went up to him and said, Mr. Cartwright, if I had five men like you, I would transform this country. Because he may not like what he says, but he appreciated there's a plain-speaking man. Now, I don't know if that's your sort of style. A little confrontational, perhaps, for 21st century London. I don't know if you'll get an audience with the Prime Minister to address him in such terms. But sometimes it can be hard, can't it, to be that open. I mean, it's a marvellous courage there of Peter Cartwright, easy to admire, but in that day and age, in your workplaces, in your offices, to be that blunt would probably be inappropriate, publicly, but easy to draw back a long way back from that. When it costs a great deal, or when it costs anything to speak out as a Christian, it's easy not to. Of course, in the UK, we've got it very easy. I was just flicking through this as the, I don't know if you ever read Evangelicals Now. Doesn't quite make it onto W.H. Smith's bookshelves, but it's a good newspaper. But here's just a fairly normal extract of some of the news they've carried from last month. On January the 18th, Layla Mohammed, a Christian convert in Iran, was sentenced to 2 years of imprisonment after enduring 5 months of uncertainty in prison. Miss Mohammadi was arrested after becoming a Christian. A number of security agents raided her home. She was taken into custody and has currently experienced 74 days in harsh conditions in solitary confinement, so she's in prison for becoming a Christian. Or in Laos, Christian families in Laos were last month ordered by the local authorities to leave their village unless they renounced their faith. The heads of the four Christian families in Natu village, Palonside district, were summoned to a meeting, and they were told they must all give up their faith in Christ and cease all Sunday worship meetings, and if not, they had to leave the village and their homes. Well, that could happen in the UK. I mean, that much milder things happen in the UK, don't they? What you think about the issue of same-sex marriage, leaving that aside, the fact that the Archbishop of York, John Sentimer, has said no, marriage is for a man and a woman alone, and has received death threats for that. Or one of the MPs who stood out prominently, David Burrows for Enfield and Southgate, has said no, marriage is for a man and a woman, and has received death threats from within his own constituency for that. So it can be costly sometimes just to be known, or certainly to speak out as a Christian. But who wants to be arrested? Or who wants to be hated? Or more likely perhaps muttered about? Spoken about? Slandered? But it can be a cost. And again, she may have made the wrong decision, but you know, the Shirley Chaplin case, which is going to the European Court, sacked 28 years as a nurse, but she refused to take off her little cross on a chain on her neck, and so she was sacked for that. Gosh. It can be costly. Why would you endure that sort of cost? Now, if you've been here over the last couple of weeks, Matthew chapter 10 is where we've really essentially spent this month, one more to go next week. And as Jesus is in a block of teaching, he's teaching his disciples, essentially, here's what life will look like for you. And last week he said, don't be surprised that some will dislike you. Don't be surprised at that. So we looked at these verses last week, but verse 24... Jesus said, a student's not above his master, above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for the student to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If the head of the house, he's referring to himself there, has been called Beelzebub, or the devil, how much more the members of his household? Jesus is saying, look, I've been persecuted, you'll be persecuted if you follow me. Don't be surprised. It may be extreme if you live in Iran in the 21st century. It may be fairly mild if you live in the UK, but don't be surprised that not all will like you and some will dislike you very much. If you speak out as a Christian, don't be surprised. So why would you bother? Well, here in today's passage, Jesus' words are quite simple. Three times. It's very clear what he wants us to take away. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So verse 26, do not be afraid of them. Verse 28, do not be afraid. Verse 31, don't be afraid. If you're a Christian here today, don't be afraid what others might say about you. And again, Matthew chapter 10, if you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian, here's in one sense what to expect, or this is Christian living. To help you make a choice, which side you want to be on. But don't be afraid, says Jesus. And essentially gives three little reasons, and they're there on the sheet. Don't be afraid of what might happen. Why? Truth will be revealed. There's something worse than death. Your Father watches over you. Okay? Don't be afraid, says Jesus. And here's the first reason. Verses 26 to 27, truth will be revealed. Let me read that. So do not be afraid of them. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs. See what he's saying? Jesus is essentially saying, look, don't bother toning down my message. That's pointless. The truth will emerge in the end, so you may as well declare it plainly. Because eventually everyone will find out. So don't bother turning it down. Everyone will find out eventually. Look at the bizarre scenario, but imagine the Olympics then are going to take place in the UK, in London, and you and I will probably find it impossible to get to work without being frisked by some security guard in this part of town as all the dignitaries stay around us. But anyway, it'll be great. But the Olympics are coming. Olympics are coming to town. But imagine that the government had tried to not let anyone know. Shh, just don't make a fuss. Fairly pointless, because come August, it'll be obvious. It's great. Everyone will know. I mean, you could try and keep it secret, but there'll be media leakouts, of course. Pointless. To keep it secret, if everyone will find out, what a waste of time that is. Or think of it this way, imagine, sadly, you're responsible at work for having to let someone know they've been made redundant. Actually, their last day of work is the 31st of December, 2012. and you're their line manager, or for some reason it lands in your lap, you need to let them know, look, you're going to be laid off 31st of December. But really want to have that conversation, because it's awkward. They're not going to take it well. They may react against you personally, even though they're through the messenger. They might, hopefully not literally, but they might not like it. So you think, well, I need to have that conversation with them. And you just delay and delay and delay, and then, well, they're on 1 month statutory notice. You have to tell them by the end of November. She's on the train mode, we're going to the end of the year. Oh, how long have you known this? 10 months. Why are you telling me now? You know, for 10 months, why aren't you telling me now? That's cruel. I mean, if you'd told me in March, I could have got another job lined up. For now, well, great Christmas we're going to have in our family. That's Jesus' point. That the truth will out, so why delay telling people? It's unkind to leave them without that knowledge when it's a great knowledge to have. So tell them. The truth will be revealed, he says. So tell people about it now. Don't be afraid. Secondly, second reason not to be afraid, verse 28, there's something worse than death. Jesus says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Gosh. So the disciples could have said, but Jesus, if we tell people about you and what you're teaching, we might die. Yeah. That's the worst that can happen. Don't worry about it. All that happens to you is you'll die, and then, well, then you'll be with me forever, so I wouldn't worry about that. But we don't, you know, there's something worse than death, Jesus says. Much worse. Of course, what he's saying is, don't fear what men will say if you tell them about me. Fear God, who at the end of history will divide people, some to heaven, some to hell, depending on how they've responded to me, says Jesus. Now, this, of course, is the part of Jesus that people don't like too much. The papers at the moment seem full of political commentators who are very keen to say, I'm sort of atheist Anglican. I kind of like ceremony, but I don't like it taken too seriously. I'm an atheist Jew. I like the formalism, but I don't like it taken too seriously. Jesus says, look, here I am, I'm putting it very black and white before you. There's a heaven, there's a hell. Everyone is destined to hell unless they put their faith in me, and then they can go to heaven. What do you make of that? It's not complicated on one level, but of course not popular. Even as I say that, you know, some are probably thinking, oh, not so starkly, I don't like it so starkly put. You think that? That's a bit medieval. I know. But you see, Jesus here, he's quite stark, isn't he? It's pretty black and white. Jesus spoke more clearly about hell than anyone else in the whole of the Bible. It's a real place. And so Jesus says, telling people about me, preparing them for eternity, that's one of the most important things you can possibly do. Preparing people to die, holding on to the truth that Jesus has come to save them from hell for heaven. That is the most important thing we can do. Now, sometimes, of course, people make threats or people are threatening and it's a bit silly and people get carried away. You can get a media storm over things. So there's going to be bird flu and we're all going to turn into birds. No, that's not what they say, is it? But avian flu is coming, you know, desperate stockpile. Oh, no. Oh, it's fine. It didn't go too badly. No, don't worry about this. Sometimes the media can get hype, you know, some party's got an axe to grind and so crime figures are punished. Burglary's gone through the roof. Everyone panics. Actually, no, it really hasn't. It's just in that one tiny postcode over there. So sometimes the media can create a storm of anxiety and panic people. But Jesus is saying here that this is real. This is eternity. Some things, it is very good to be warned about because you can make plans. It's good to be warned that there's a tube strike coming. You can make plans. Cycle, use a bus, whatever it is that's useful to you. Last time I was in New York, I walked through Central Park and there were signs everywhere. Beware the raccoons, they carry rabies. Well, that's useful. Not a particular animal lover, I wouldn't stroke them anyway, but if you know, one came near, I'm not going to let anyone near me. That's useful knowledge. I don't want to be bitten. I don't want rabies. Thank you very much. Useful. Some warnings are very useful. You can prepare. And Jesus is saying here, look, this is the most important warning that I can give. So don't be afraid of how people may react. Because what's the worst that can happen? They're annoyed with you. In this case, they'll kill you. Well, okay, so you'll die. But that doesn't matter so much, does it? Because you'll be with Jesus for eternity. That's his point. That's slightly counterintuitive to think that way. But what's the worst that can happen? There's something worse than death, says Jesus. Someone who understood this very clearly, it's quite a famous quote, you may have heard it before, but Polycarp, AD 155, so we are going back a few years now. Polycarp was a bishop of Smyrna, and he was burnt at the stake by the Romans for his belief. Let me just read you the last moments of his death. You may have heard this before, but they're very striking in this regard. The Roman governor said to Polycarp, "Come now, where is the harm in just saying, Caesar is Lord, not Jesus?" "No, I'm not going to take your advice," he replied. The governor went on pressing him, "Take the oath and I'll let you go. Revile your Christ." Polycarp replied, 86 years have I served Jesus, and he has done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my King and my Saviour? Governor, if you do not recant, I will burn you to death." Polycarp, "The fire you threaten me with cannot go on burning for very long. After a while it goes out. But what you are unaware of are the flames of future judgment and everlasting torment which are in store for the ungodly. Why waste your time? Bring out your fire and let us get on with it." Now he understood what Jesus is saying. "Are you going to kill me? Well, I'm not giving up on Jesus. He saves me for eternity. Why would I do that? So you can kill me now if you want. There's something worse than death." Last reason to not be afraid. So truth will be revealed. There's something worse than death. Last, your Father watches over you, says Jesus. Verse 29. "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows." Now, sparrows back then are worth the same as they are now. Pretty much nothing. Worth nothing. And yet God cares about them, says Jesus. Not a single sparrow will die unless God ordains it. He sustains the heartbeat of every little sparrow, as well as of you and of me. So don't be afraid. You're worth more than many sparrows. People may mock you, but no harm can befall you. Unless God allows it, and he won't, beyond what you can bear. I mean, you may be Polycarp, people may kill you, but that's in God's plan, and you'll be with him. Verse 29 is very precious, it's a very precious general promise. "Not one sparrow falls to the ground apart from the will of your Father, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Do you see what Jesus is saying there? God overrules everything. Every circumstance of your life is within his plan. You never go outside of that. So you can trust him. And in this case, don't be afraid what someone might say to you. Trust God. Even tomorrow morning, as you shower and you watch your hairs go down the plug hole, and you think, "I haven't got time to count them." But God can. God cares about me more than I do. Have you ever sat down and counted the hairs on your head? It takes some of you a long time, some not so long. But no one's ever bothered to do it. God has. God knows. He cares about you more than you do. So as you shower and you watch your hairs go down the plug hole or clog it up if you've got longer hair, God knows about every single hair. That's how much he cares about me. So whatever comes today and whatever hostility comes my way, I don't need to worry. My Father is watching over me. What a comfort. What a comfort if you're a David Burrows receiving death threats, or a Shirley Chaplin who loses her job. Or if you're you, and worry, what might someone say if I speak out about being a Christian? Well, don't worry, your father's watching over you. Nothing will befall you that he doesn't allow for your good. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You need these things, I need these things. Truth will be revealed. There's something worse than death. Your father watches over you. Don't be afraid. You mustn't be afraid. To be honest with you, I stand here mildly afraid. Afraid that someone here will think, oh, that's just too much, too strong, too blunt. And that's enough. I'm not going back there again. I just don't like that sort of bluntness. I haven't come here to be offended. Well, look, I need to remember, as do you, there's something worse than being offended. The truth will come out eventually. You can't hide it forever. There's something worse than being offended. There's something worse than death. Forgive me if I've been clumsy in how I've said this, but do take Jesus' teaching seriously. The truth will come out. Something worse than death, and God is watching over you. So Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 10, look, if you're a Christian, expect hostility. Look, if you're not yet a Christian, you've got to know that that's coming if you became a Christian. Some people won't like it so much. Don't be surprised at that. Don't be surprised. One commentator put it bluntly, I thought, it's helpful for me. No one will like you for speaking of hell, but perversely, those who believe will love you for it. Because they know that their lives have been transformed for eternity as a result of that truth. Those are the last comment on this. Jesus knows. He says, look, I'm warning you. I'm warning you. It won't always be easy. But the one thing he doesn't say in this passage is sorry. Look, I'm really sorry about that. I'm sorry it's going to be awkward. He never apologizes to us. And why should he? Because essentially he doesn't say it bluntly, but he could say very plainly to us, oh look, people may give you a hard time if you're a Christian, but do remember I endured hell for you. My soul and my body were torn apart for you. And I have rescued you, if you're a Christian, to be with me in paradise forever. So I'm warning you, or I'm equipping you. I'm trying to encourage you here. The truth will come out. Death's not that bad. The Father's watching over you. But I'm not saying sorry. Because what I've done for you is rescue you forever. Now go and tell people about that, will you? Some won't like it. But those who believe will love you. They'll love you forever. Because you've helped point them to the one who rescues them forever. So don't be afraid. Our Father, you know these are blunt words to our ears, and most of us will instinctively shy away from repeating these words of Jesus, from being quite so blunt. Thank you for the encouragement here, though, that we needn't be afraid of what people may make of this. It's a wonderful thing to tell people about you and the rescue that is on offer in Jesus Christ. Everyone will find out eventually. The truth will be revealed. Death isn't that bad. What comes after is far worse. And you, the Father, are watching over us. So please, Father, would, if we're Christians, leave here unafraid to speak of you. If we're not yet persuaded, well, dare I put it this way, afraid until we're right with you. So, Father, help us understand Jesus' words rightly, we pray. Amen.
Amen.